This is GamesAtWork.biz with Phaedra Boinodiris, Michael Martin, and Michael Rowe, your weekly podcast about gaming technology and play. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone, and not the opinions of any organization which we have been, are, or may be affiliated with.
This is episode 132.
Wake it up!
So welcome again to yet another edition of GamesAtWork.biz. This is Michael Martin. I'm coming to you live as always, because if I weren't live, it would be a problem. From Research Triangle Park, I'm joined in this beautiful Carolina blue sunny sky day with my good friend and co-host, Mr. Michael Rowe. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Michael. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. It is. It's gorgeous out there, and I actually have been looking out of the windows admiring the fact that it's gorgeous out there.
Well, that's kind of nice when you can see it's out, what's outside. That's good. It's a little nippy. It was warm. It was almost shorts weather earlier in the week, and it's kind of turned a little cold, and there's perhaps even some snow in the forecast for next week, but we shall see. We shall see.
Yeah, but it's allowed to be cold because it's winter.
Oh, yes, winter. February in North Carolina. You never know what to bring or what to wear. So we've got a couple pretty cool links here to talk about today. And the titular one for this particular podcast is coming from our good friends at Microsoft, who have created an alarm app to help you wake up. If you've got an Android device, you can go and check this out. And it's a little bit different from the, you know, just keep pressing snooze all the time. It's a little bit different from the clock that rolls around on the floor in your bedroom and you have to chase it down and find it and turn it off to get it from stopping screaming. This one kind of gamifies your morning get up out of bed routine because the app asks you to do certain tasks in order to turn off the alarm.
Like get up.
Well, that's one of them. So your phone apparently is going off and it's saying, hey, get up. And then you get your phone and you're like, okay, I'm up. And then the phone will present you with a task like, I would like you to take a selfie with your face grimacing. And it will use the Microsoft facial recognition software to determine whether you are in fact grimacing or not,
you know. What if you have this really grimacy smile and says, take a selfie and smile, and goes, no, you're grimacing.
The amount of fun you could have with this app is unlimited.
No, I think it's very limited.
No way. I mean, here's the next one, right? So according to the article, it can ask you with any one of several surprise tasks, such as reciting a tongue twister, which if you're very tired and you haven't had your coffee yet, you might not be so inclined to do unless all the words started with F and S. It could ask you to do a color matching task, like take a picture of something that is red. And then they'll use Microsoft's technology that does color matching to determine whether or not you've taken a picture of something that, in fact, is red. These are ways to help make sure you wake up, right? Because you can't easily do this if you are just kind of being groggy and pressing the snooze button one more time.
So if it asks you to take a picture of something that is red and there's nothing red in your bedroom, you would, in theory, have to go outside of your bedroom and find something red. Or what you're really doing is training it what the color red is so you could have lots of fun and just take picture of, like, blue things over and over again. Take something red.
You have to do. No, it's blue. Take something red. No, it's blue.
Blue. Blue.
It could be a CAPTCHA kind of thing too, right? So it's like, oh, well, what do you think red is? Oh, okay, I guess that is red in the color palette, maybe sort of kind of.
So it could be a great way of introducing more data into a cognitive system that's trying to learn things. And you're really leveraging the fact that if you're the type of person who needs this app to wake up, you're probably the kind of person who will go out of their way to find the real color red.
Yeah. All I would say is this sounds fun. You know, I don't know that I would use it. The app that I'm using.
Well,
right
I
now
know is, I wouldn't.
Well, no, sorry. You do have an Android device floating around your house, don't you?
I do. But again, I know I wouldn't be using this app.
you wouldn't want to just try this out just to see how it works?
No. Especially, you know, I just woke up and they're like, take a picture of yourself. It's like, no, you don't want to see a picture of me when I just wake up. There are so many potential wrong things in that scenario.
There's a lot of wrong things in the scenario, but I don't know. I find it as being a creative, interesting thing. The app that I'm using, and I think it's called Wake. And I'd have to go hunt it down. I'm not looking for it right now, but it sends an alarm message with the phone vibrating. So if it's on like a wooden table, it's going on the table and that echoes. And then the particular alarm noise I've chosen is yes. Chickens on bicycles.
Ring, ring.
So, exactly.
Ring, ring.
Have the little bell and then the click, 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 click of the gears of the bicycle. So
does it have a playing card in the spokes?
No, it's not. It's
did
not
you ever do that as a kid?
You know, I knew people that did that with their Star Wars cards, and I bet they're
No. You use playing cards. You don't want to like use cards that are valuable.
Baseball cards too, maybe. But
yeah,
but
those are valuable.
I use the Star Wars cards, and
yeah,
that was just not cool.
Yeah,
not cool. I think my mom got rid of my Star Wars cards. I had a pretty decent collection of them too.
I had a great collection of Lego. My mom gave it away.
Oh, you got to be kidding!
Yeah, like you know what a Foot Locker size is.
No, like really? Seriously?
Yes, seriously.
Mrs. Rowe, I'm sorry to say this, but that is just wrong.
It is so wrong.
That is wrong. That's yeah. wrong. And you know, speaking of Lego, I've got my my TARDIS special idea kit that I have not started working on yet, but I'm excited to give it a go. It's got weeping angels, Daleks, everything. I'm very excited about building that. okay, so that's the Microsoft alarm app for your pleasure if you happen to have a Android device who want to try it out. I just took a look inside of the iTunes store, and there is as yet not an equivalent from the Microsoft company there. But if it comes, I will give it a. I will try it. And
I think we will want you to do that.
Yeah, I figured that you might. But if any of our listeners want to give this a shot and then would like to recount their experience, like, you know, maybe
which is very different than recanting their experience.
Well, they might do that too.
They may do that too.
Just turn on the recorder or the video camera and just, you know, kind of like, you know, record the experience. That could be fun. They're really interesting for a lot of people.
Yes.
As long as you're decently dressed. All right. So moving away from Microsoft for a minute, let's turn to our friends at Google.
Woohoo!
I've actually not tried this yet, and I turned off the Wi-Fi on my phone. So maybe while we're talking here, I will give this a shot. But Google has now enabled in the iOS app for Google a ability to say, "I'm feeling curious."
Well, and it's not just that, right? It's if you have 3D touch enabled.
That's where it is. Okay, so I wouldn't have that anyway.
I was about to say, when did you upgrade to the 6S?
I do not have such a thing. So, yeah.
That's
so
what 3D. I was wondering, because I was like, you know, cool, mm-hmm. I'd like to hear about it, because I don't have a 6S. And I wanted to know how you were enjoying 3D Touch.
Well, I could tell you right now, I'm not enjoying 3D Touch.
You're not enjoying it at all.
But that's okay, because you can't really enjoy something you do not have.
Well, so sometimes you can. Right, cool. You can enjoy, God, I almost said syphilis, if you don't have it.
What?
Enjoying something that you don't have, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, that was just horrible. Horrible person. Evil thoughts.
All right, so nothing here. I could do this. I can't do anything else.
Yeah, because I'm feeling curious was a feature of Google for a long time. Or I'm feeling lucky. Right, you put something in and say, "I feel lucky," and you do a search, and it takes you immediately to a site.
Yep. Yep. So this is unfortunately not going to do very much for me without the 3D touch. But according to the article, the way this is working, and I think this is pretty clever, is that you could now say, I'm feeling curious, and it would take you to a results page that has some random facts or knowledge.
Yes.
That you might not have otherwise seen. And
does it include a man in a yellow jacket?
It depends, right? If you're searching for Curious George, he may have a hat as well. It could be, right?
Just never understood. So, I always thought he was a fireman because of that.
Because of that hat?
No, because of the yellow coat that he wore.
Oh, I always thought he was just a cowboy.
Well, he had a yellow hat too, but he also, in the one that I read as a little kid, he had a yellow coat.
Oh. So. Yeah, no, he had a yellow outfit all the way around.
Yeah,
that's true.
Anyway, so I feel lucky.
Trivia
questions.
Curious. Yes. You have these trivia questions, and then you could just kind of let the internet take you where it will, you know. And then you can keep asking questions or being asked questions, and then all of a sudden you just find yourself in a corner of the interwebs you didn't expect to be. So. According to the author of the article that we found here, they say it can be a little addicting and almost as much fun as browsing Instagram when you have time to kill. So fun stuff here.
Yeah, it does look interesting. Again, haven't had much fun time to kill lately. I would love to have that opportunity or problem. While our listeners are going out trying to figure out what game they're really playing at here, or if it's just an interesting way to drive traffic to sites that are hosting Google Ads, not that they would do that, I have a story to tell. And it's not the story of the link that we have coming up.
No, well, pray tell the story.
So earlier this week, I was having some problems on my main computer here at the house, my iMac. And I was trying to reset the NVRAM, the non-volatile RAM. And it didn't do that. If you're a Mac person, all you know, every once in a while you reset the NVRAM to fix certain problems. Well, when I did it, it actually booted the log thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It booted me up onto the secondary drive as a full blown Mac, which logged me in to my iCloud account there. And the machine was all screwed. It's like, oh man, that wasn't the right thing. Let me boot back to the right boot drive. When I booted back to the right boot drive, it now had screwed up my iCloud account. After spending nights, evenings digging around on that, I finally discovered what it had done, and I, you know, disconnected from the iCloud account and still couldn't get it reconnect, kept giving me weird, strange errors, and it's like, oh, the ultimate solution here is to boot in recovery mode and reinstall the operating system. And as someone who's reinstalled the operating system before, that wasn't a big deal, so I did that. And now I have a completely non-working machine. The operating system is reinstalled, but the secondary drive is now completely showing on drive utilities that all the data on the drive is listed as other, and I can't write to the drive anymore, which is a problem because all my user accounts and data and everything else is on that drive. So I can't reinstall all the software that I had installed because it won't register it because it can't write to the drive. So in between all the other things that are driving this week into just fun, exciting, and working crazy, I am trying to find someone who can point me in the correct way of debugging this without going in and just saying, you know, it's time to format the hard drive on both disks and rebuild from scratch.
that could be super fun.
Yeah. Like I have plenty of time to do that this weekend.
Oh, I thought that's too funny.
Oh, yes, it's just whippity-doo-dah fun.
All right, so...
So if you hear a little extra fun in my voice on this show, you'll know that I'm banging my head against the wall while we record.
so you'll like this because as the show is getting ready to start here, I was exchanging a tweet or two with our good friend of the show, Ian Hughes, author of now two books that are...
Yes, Reconfigure and Context.
So we're having some fun and I'm having fun with him around Marmite versus Vegemite.
Yes.
So I had a Vegemite sandwich last week here in North Carolina, just so you know.
Do you come from a land down under?
I do. Okay. under the hill.
Under the hill.
So
near the chapel.
Underhill. So I tweeted back chapel to him about Vegemite versus Marmite, and that started an interesting little thing. And today he was tweeting out again about Marmite, and I suggested that maybe he consider some additional product placements. You know, so it's not just Marmite; it could be Vegemite too.
Yes,
and that took us down a tiny little garden path a little further. Hey, he could do some digital product replacement, altering the foodstuff by region.
So yes.
I then said, well, you know, if you had a Canadian reader, it could be Montreal. If you had an Aussie, it could be Sydney. So this becomes a choose-your-own-adventure localization story. So instead of the story happening in London, it could be happening in Sydney, and you could be having, Full Metal Vegemite instead of Full Metal Marmite as the app name. So we've been having some fun chatting along this, and he's like, oh, this is genius. I may have to use that with credit, of course. And my response was, of course.
So very cool.
Hopefully we can get Ian back on the show and talk about book number two in the next couple of weeks because I'm looking forward to reading it.
Yes. I just finished it recently. I really enjoyed it. He continues to keep my interest and ratchet up the fun in the books. So our last link is really about last weekend's fun and hopefully might get us a potential interview coming up on the show in the near future. So I think I mentioned last week on the show that I was going to be going to a little event at the Durham Public Libraries as part of the whole Dice and Decisions thread. And so I went out to a role-playing game demonstration event that they had. And I actually wrote a pretty detailed blog post about this over on my blog, and we'll have the link to the show over at michaelrose01.com. But Jason Morningstar, who is one of the co-owners, lead developers, whatever term you want to use, designers for Bully Pulpit Games, a Chapel Hill-based gaming company, was hosting a event where people could come and play some games. And there were three games that you had. There's a two-hour session. One of them was called Fiasco. One was called The Warren. And the third one was World of Dungeons. Now, I've not been able to find a good link on The World of Dungeons, unfortunately. It looks to be a fairly old game coming out in 1979. There's an online game now and a couple other things, so I didn't know what the right link for that one was. But the two games that Bully Pulpit Games created, Fiasco and The Warren, were well represented. So Fiasco is really kind of a game that's designed and inspired by all those tales of small time capers gone disastrously wrong.
With
movies like
kids.
Blood Simple, Fargo, The Way of the Gun, Burn After Reading, and Simple Plan, right? So you play ordinary people with powerful ambition and poor impulse control is the way they described it. So
that was one game, I did not play it. The game that I played was a game called The Warren, which you and I were pinging each other about. And I'll actually put a little video about the game in the show page for this week's show. But basically, it's a tabletop role playing game in the genre of Watership Down. Probably the best way to describe it. If you've read Watership Down or saw the movie from the late 70s, intelligent rabbits in the world of rabbits. So it's the perspective of rabbits in the world of rabbits. And it was loads and loads of fun. Only two of the people at the table with us had played role-playing games before. Other ones didn't. So it was a lot of new people kind of get started in the role-playing genre. And just learning the simple mechanics of these games and the excitement, the engagement of really telling a new story. Because really, role-playing games are all like writing a book in real time with a group of friends. So I'll have cool. a detailed description of what actually happened over at my blog at MichaelRose01.
But help me with this, right? How do you get yourself slipping into the skin, the role essentially of a rabbit? You know, did they pass out carrots? Did you talk about whiskery things? I mean, help me with this. You know, how did you jump right into rabbits?
Well, pretty high level description. The first was, it's like Watership Down, right? And most of us had either read or knew about Watership Down. Second was, you know, some basic ideas. So rabbits tend to be, at least in the world of this game, warren-based creatures, right? So it's multi-generation little clans. They have very short lives. They reproduce like rabbits.
What? So when you play the game, you
don't have an attack like, metric because rabbits aren't fighters.
No.
So like, you have missions that you need to do. Like in our case, it was the Warren was starving and we had to go find food. Right. Very simple metric.
Here's the thing. Are you a component of the Warren or are you an individual rabbit?
You are an individual rabbit in the Warren.
Yeah, so if your individual rabbit in the Warren gets eaten by a fox or run over by a car or struck by lightning that came from an alien spaceship.
Then you come back as another rabbit.
Ah, okay.
From the same Warren.
That's kind of where I was going. So losing
and
a
you
life
can come back
in this
as
game
the child of the rabbit.
Yeah, is not necessarily a bad thing because that's pretty natural. That's what happens.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's multi-generational. The whole idea is you want to protect the Warren. And as a character, if you die, right, you may come back as another rabbit or you may come back as a rabbit that's already been around, like your grandparent rabbit. So the idea is to shift the mindset from, okay, I'm this, you know, great wizard. And if I die, the game's over to I want to protect the Warren or do something for the Warren.
So would this game continue perhaps over multiple weekends if you desired it? Or is it it could be an ongoing campaign essentially.
Because you level up over time by gaining new skills. And I go through a lot of that in my blog post. Well, no. Then that rabbit resets its skills, right? Because you have a new rabbit. But if you survive, you can gain skills. And I taught the other rabbits how to climb chicken wire fences.
Okay, now that makes sense. Now it makes a lot more sense.
If one rabbit learns something new that rabbits don't traditionally do, they, by definition, train the other rabbits. So then if you die and you come back as one of the other rabbits, you then know how to climb chicken wire fences.
They could train you, right? So if you learn something, you train the other rabbits, and then they teach you, then that would allow you to retain that skill over generations.
Correct.
Ooh. Okay. Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was loads of fun, and I was thinking it would be a good idea to reach out to Jason and potentially get him on the show coming up soon because the company actually creates lots of different games. They
they are building games around simple tabletop kind of role-playing type games. And let me see. What are some of the other games they've done? Juggernaut, a live-action game about... it's like a creepy Twilight Zone episode.
Ooh.
Night Witches, game about Soviet airwomen at war in World War II. Out of Dodge, a four-person American freeform live-action game on desperate criminals on a car ride to nowhere. The Climb is about an expedition to the Himalayas. Carolina Death Crawl, swampy Southern Gothic role-playing game. Durance, which I was like, Durance? Don't you mean Endurance? Nope. Durance, the Prison Planet. Fiasco, the Shabal Hari Roach. No game master and can be played in a single evening if you craze one-upmanship, furious stake setting, and chanting guttural commands in Sumerian. Okay. Gray Ranks, Warsaw Uprising in the summer of 1944. And this one has got to be everybody's all-time favorite, Drowning and Falling. Is a charity project illustrated by five indie comic artists. So they do lots of different stuff around games. It's a small firm. They do some experimental games. They do free games on their pages, etc. And the whole idea of the event was it's actually a series of events where they are trying to engage local people more and get them engaged in tabletop gaming.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. It's lots of fun. Lots of fun. Anybody local, I recommend, you know, checking out the calendar link over at the library. And I think it's every other weekend that they're doing something here.
Well, I think it'd be great to have him on the show and talk about games and game mechanics and how they, you know, he comes up with the ones that he does and what seems to be working best. And yeah, I think that'll be awesome. Love to do it.
Cute.
And now I understand a little bit more about the rabbit mentality here. So,
yes.
Did you feel that you were a successful running bunny?
I was.
Good.
I saved the day.
Did we talk before about exploding cats?
No.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Because you,
just making
you
sure.
Got that recently.
I did, and I played with my kids, and we had a great time with it. So, but it's, you know, kittens are cute and snuggly and fuzzy and stuff too, but you don't want them to explode, which
correct.
I'm sure is part of the rabbit kind of dungeon master thing here too.
Nah, so you can go ahead and let your rabbit die.
You've eaten
it's okay.
Celery and they've blown up because the celery was coated in cyanide explosive plastic explosives.
Well, I think we're actually out of time.
We are, unfortunately. But boy, this has been a lot of fun today, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. As long as you keep telling me, Michael, you're having lots of fun.
I liked the pregnant pause there. That was really good.
You fix my machine and I'll go back to having fun.
Yeah, well, you know, all I can say is that there's sometimes when the best thing to do is just start over completely.
No. I really don't have time for that.
All right. Well, my sympathies to you, Michael. I hope it gets better soon.
Me
so
too.
With that, let me invite our audience to let us know how they wake up in the mornings and if they are using an app or a game or something like that. If you are playing some board games or card games or other games that you think are interesting, neat, cool, we'd love to hear about those as well. We'd love to see what's going on in technology in general, things that amuse or bemuse you. We're here to chat about them and talk about them here on gamesatwork.biz.
Yes. And if our listeners are still asleep, wake up!
Wake up! All right. See ya.
Bye.
You've been listening to gamesatwork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network. And we'd like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at gamesatwork_biz or at our website at gamesatwork.biz.